All right, morning. Happy Mother's Day. You're welcome, Ralph. Well, I was going to go one direction this morning. I think I'll go in a different direction here. Yeah. Do it. No. No. I'm out. Yeah, really, what happened to that? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look here. Hebrews 11. And finally, last verse. Hey, did you put a bell on here, on the pulpit? Somebody put a bell up here. Hebrews 11. Let's show you something about Sarah this morning. Sarah is the, is that loud? Is that too loud? Pretty loud. Too loud for the people who don't want to hear. Hebrews 11. So this is, I'll show you some things about Sarah's faith. And Sarah in the Bible is really the quintessential mother. Everything that's said about Sarah deals with her being a mother. But this won't just apply to motherhood. There's some a lot of good application across the board here. Hebrews 11, verse 11. It says, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. That's interesting, the way that's said. So the reason Sarah received strength, the reason Sarah received the ability to conceive Isaac was because of her faith. It's almost like when you read, I just changed it a couple weeks ago. It's almost like when you read about Daniel and it says the lions didn't get to him, and the Bible says because he believed his God. So that's the power of believing God, having faith. So through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Interesting. So that's the record in the New Testament, Hebrews 11, about Sarah's belief and what effect that had on her life. All right, now, that's the New Testament. Let's go back to Genesis and just look at some things about Sarah before we jump back over here to Hebrews 11. Go back over to Genesis chapter 11, and we'll look at Sarah here. This is the first time you're introduced to Sarah. And by the way, Sarah is Abraham's wife. Abraham and Sarah. So Abraham is going to be promised some things, promised land, an inheritance, but he has no children. That'll be a little bit later in Genesis. This is the first time you're introduced to Sarah. So Genesis chapter 11 and verse 30. This is how God introduces you to Abraham's wife. It says, but Sarah was barren, she had no child. So that's the, almost every time you read about Sarah in the Bible, it deals with her motherhood in some respect, or her lack of motherhood in some respect. So that's the first time you're introduced to her. Sarah has, the Bible says, she's barren, she has no child. And it's not only said once, notice, I mean, it's repeated. She's barren, and then she has no child. Look over in Genesis chapter 16 now. Genesis 16, verse 1. From the time you just met Sarah to Genesis 16, God has promised Abraham land, said, I will make of you a great nation. They've gone to Egypt to avoid a famine, Abraham and Sarah. Now they've come out of Egypt. Genesis 16, 1 says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. So there you go again. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. So when Abraham and Sarah come back from Egypt, they come back with a little more than they went in with. They come back with an Egyptian handmaid. Verse 2, and Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. So the Lord promises, Abraham and Sarah children. Then a few years go by, and it looks like that promise is not going to pan out, at least to Abraham and Sarah. So the Lord waits a few years, and Sarah's solution is, you know, this is I'm about, you know, I'm getting a lot older here, and we don't have any children. And so maybe what we should just do is you can have children by this Egyptian, by Hagar, and that'll be our children. And so it's the typical kind of way I think all of us in some ways try to help out God with his promises. You know, you don't see the thing panning out the way you thought it was going to pan out, and you lose faith in the Lord, and so you kind of say, well, then I'll make this thing happen. If he ain't going to make it happen, maybe the plan's changed and I need to make it happen. And so you do what? Well, Hagar, yeah, she was trying to make her a surrogate mom. And that's true, Tony. So yeah, Sarah tries to make Hagar the first surrogate mom, but that's not God's plan, but that's the plan that Sarah and Abraham come up with in order to fulfill God's promise. And so they went to work trying to make this thing happen, and of course, Abraham and Hagar do have a child. And that child is still not the child that's promised. So, but now they have a child that's not the promise, and it's not between Abraham and Sarah, it's between Abraham and Hagar. So look over in, let's see, verse 15, I think it is. Genesis 16, 15. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. So now Abraham and Hagar have this child named Ishmael, and Abraham and Sarah still don't have any children of their own. All right, this is the plan that they come up with. Look over in Genesis 18, see something else here. What I'm showing you these things because when you get to the New Testament, here's the contrast. What you read in the New Testament doesn't seem to match anything about Sarah. You remember what it said? It said, through faith, Sarah had power to conceive a child. What, everything you've read about Sarah so far is she doesn't have any faith. She's just trying to make this thing work. All right, here's another one, Genesis 18 and verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. All right, these are the two angels and the Lord. They show up at Abraham's tent, and the Lord's getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the meantime here, they tell Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a child. It says, verse 9, they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being all old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? So the Lord promises again, Abraham and Sarah are going to have a child. Sarah laughs in the tent, thinks it's a joke, and she laughs, and then the Lord calls her out on it and says, why'd you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. That wasn't me. I wasn't laughing. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. Of course, that's what we do when we're afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. We know you laughed. So this is, again, Sarah's great faith. Here we are. So far, you haven't seen anything that reminds you of faith in Sarah. She comes up with a plan to have a surrogate child through Hagar. That's not the plan. And now Abraham and Sarah and Hagar have this, there's Ishmael in the family, and he's going to be a problem. But Abraham and Sarah still don't have a child. Now the Lord shows up to Abraham and Sarah when they're almost 100 years old, and Sarah just laughs. I'm not going to have a child. And the Lord says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? God made people out of dirt. Dirt that he made. it's not too difficult. But by the time you get to, you think about it in history, the Lord has made people many different ways. He made Adam out of dirt that he made. He made Eve out of the genetic material of Adam, a rib, and then fashions a wife for Adam. So Eve is made out of a rib. Then he uses Adam and Eve to produce children. That's the third way. So by Genesis 4, you've had people created three different ways. Then you have Jesus Christ, who's born of just a mother without a father or without a physical father. And so God's produced these bodies multiple different ways. And so, asking from the Lord's perspective, it's like, why would you not think I could make another one? So there's Sarah. Let's see. Look over in Genesis chapter 20. At some point, though, in all of this, Sarah is going to trust the Lord. You don't see it necessarily in the verses we've read. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he's my brother, and the integrity of mine heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. So Abimelech, they traveled down south. Abimelech sees Sarah, and he wants to marry Sarah. And the Lord warns Abimelech, you can't do that. She's already married to someone. And then this is what plays out here. Look down in verse 9. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us?" Well, that's, they I guess had a lot more discretion back then than we have now. I mean, this guy is concerned about what's going to happen to his nation if he commits adultery. Well, we're so far beyond that. Wow. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not be done." And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife, and it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, 'This is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we will go, say of me, he is my brother.'" So the plan was to just lie whenever Sarah was being sought after by the men. They would just lie and say, "Sarah is the sister, she's not married." And this is the second time they've done this. And the Lord intervenes, protects Sarah, because he doesn't want any complications with the promise. He doesn't want it to be said that there's anyone else's child. When Abraham and Sarah have Isaac, there's no complications, there's no other men involved, there's no one else involved. And the Lord's protecting Sarah for that purpose. But it's interesting that even Abraham and Sarah are trying to kind of weasel their way out of this stuff and not hurt themselves in the process, not be destroyed by these people they think are going to hurt them, but they're not. So there's, again, the lies there. And here's the point in all this. I show you these things to say this. When you get to Hebrews chapter 11, and it describes Sarah's faith, all that's recorded in Genesis about Sarah's unbelief is just kind of wiped away. There's no caveat. It doesn't say in Hebrews 11, Sarah believed God, but, you know, there was a lot of complications with that. It just says Sarah, she believed God. That was when God gave her power to conceive. So here's the point. It's a very simple point, but Sarah's faith, and just like your faith and anyone's faith, faith is what justifies a person. So when Sarah has faith, you read in Hebrews 11, all of these past transgressions are just ignored. They're not brought up. They're not rehashed. It's just when Sarah had faith, the record is, Hebrews 11, Sarah believed God, and through faith she conceived. She was given power to conceive. And so it's just a very simple principle and truth. Sarah's faith justified her, just like anyone who would have faith. That's the thing that justifies you. You trust Jesus Christ. I mean, jumping ahead to say trust Jesus Christ, but she trusted the Lord. Apparently it's in time, she trusts the Lord to have a baby. And at that time when she trusts the Lord gives her the ability to have a baby. That time whenever you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that time Jesus Christ is your Savior, and all of this history of sin is now justified. And so God doesn't bring it up. He doesn't throw it up back in your face. It's just in Jesus Christ. And I know I'm making an application to Jesus Christ, but it's justification by faith. And that's the whole thing about it. It's justification by faith. So that said now, Sarah's faith causes God to work in a way that, you know, he promised he would work. But go back over to Hebrews 11 and look at the little more detail in here. So Sarah's faith justified her. I thought it was interesting. You read about Sarah in Genesis, and it's hard to find faith there. But apparently she had it at some point in time. And once she trusted the Lord in his promise, all of this past transgression is just wiped off the record. All right, Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because, so here's the reason this happened, she judged him faithful who had promised. So that's the reason Abraham and Sarah have a child, because of their faith. God promises. You think about all of the promises. All right, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God makes a promise. Some people have that promise applied to their lives by faith, and some people don't have that promise applied to their lives because they don't have any faith in what God said. So God promises, for instance, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Well, by faith, you can get a hold of that grace. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are you saved through faith. So here's this promise, and by faith, make that promise work for you. I mean, you put that promise to work. However, for a lot of other people, the promises of God don't have any meaning, and so there's no power of God at work there because they won't believe what God said. So just trying to make some general application to this thing. Sarah's faith causes God to work, and there's two things that are very applicable today from Sarah, what Sarah believes. Number one, she believes God for a supernatural birth. Remember, it was said that Abraham and Sarah they're past the age of childbearing. They can't have children naturally. So she can only believe God for a supernatural birth. All right, does that sound like anything remotely what goes on today when a person trusts Jesus Christ to be born again? I mean, that's what it is. You're trusting God for a supernatural birth that you can't produce. It's not in you to produce that. So you trust what God said, and he produces a birth, and there's a supernatural birth there. Sarah could not produce what God wanted to produce in her. You can't produce what God wants to produce in you. I can't produce what God wants to produce in me. We believe God, and by that belief, then he produces and can produce what he wants to produce. But naturally, you can't do that. Just to make another application to it, you know, a sinner can't make himself a child of God. Look over, and this is one that you probably are familiar with, but if not, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. So a sinner can't make himself a child of God. However, the opportunity to become a child of God is there. Lord has that opportunity there. So Sarah's belief in a supernatural birth . The Bible says, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus Christ and whoever would receive him, as many as received him, to them gave he power, just like he gave Sarah power to conceive, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you believe something, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but hopefully you do. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you believe his words, he has given you his spirit of promise. So you have a spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, according to Romans 8. You're waiting, like we've said 100 times, you're waiting for the body that matches the spirit you've been given. And so you're waiting to become a child of God, or I should say you're waiting to become a, you have the spirit of God's children. You don't have the body of God's children yet. And you're waiting for that, like he says in Romans 8, the adoption, that is the redemption of the body. And so God gives you a, if you trust Jesus Christ, you believe his words, you believe the gospel, God gives you his spirit, whereby you cry, the Bible says, Abba, Father. And he gives you a spirit as a down payment or an earnest payment to say, I promise one day to change that body. And I will make that body like Jesus Christ's body. So that, and all that happens because, what does he say in verse 12? Even to them that believe on his name. That's the requirement. Why? Because there's nothing you or I can do to make that happen. You and I can't make a new body. We can't produce this stuff. God has to produce it, and the basis on which he will produce it is a person's faith or belief in what he said. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. All right, so through faith, Sarah believes in a supernatural birth. She also believes in a deliverance here. Over in Hebrews 11, the word, I think, delivered is in here. Deliverance. So it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. There's a supernatural birth there, or supernatural conception, and was delivered of a child, there's the deliverance, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. It's going to be incredibly fruitful faith, but we'll get to that in just a second. Second thing was, she believes God for this birth and deliverance, which is kind of the same thing, but maybe there's a few differences here. The deliverance, you think about it in birth, the deliverance, it wipes away past struggle. And I mean, you ladies, you moms would have much better time explaining this, but I will. Isn't it true, when you have a child, you have a baby, all of the struggle, the pain, the morning sickness, all that stuff is kind of just forgotten about. At the moment of deliverance, if there's a smile on your face, there's happiness, there's joy, and there is just an out of the, you're not thinking about the morning sickness, you're not thinking about the late nights, you just see the baby, see him or her, you just see the baby, and it's just a smile on the face, and the deliverance is just, oh man, this was worth it. And you don't even think about, I guess you don't even think about being worth it. You just think about, man, it's just joy. Just joy. And so deliverance, Sarah believes God for a birth, a deliverance. And I guess in a application for a Christian, for you and I, if you're saved, application, you believe God. Like we just talked about, you believe God for a supernatural deliverance one day. I think you do. I mean, you believe one day this flesh, this body is going to be done away with, and you will be given a new body. And like we said a while ago, it will match the spirit you've already been given. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, he's given you his spirit, but not the body yet. And the body will be the deliverance from sin, because he will, like he says, look over in Philippians, I'll show you the deliverance here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul said it this way over in Romans. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Sarah believes God for a supernatural deliverance. Philippians 3, verse 20. The Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Amen to that. Amen to that. Look over in 1 Corinthians. I'll show it to you again. This is the deliverance. 1 Corinthians 15. I think most of you are familiar with these verses, but these are the verses where it's at. This is the hope. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Wow. Amen to that. That is a supernatural deliverance. That's something none of us can produce. The only option we have, it's promised by God. And the only option we have is to either believe God about that thing or to not believe God about that thing. And according to Hebrews 11 with Sarah, the Bible says, through faith, Sarah conceived. God gave her power to conceive because she counted him faithful. I forget how it's worded there in Hebrews 11. She counted him, judged him faithful. There you go. Thank you. She judged him faithful. So that's the option. God makes these promises in Jesus Christ. He says, I will make you a child of God. I will change your body. I will change you. I will deliver you from this corruption in Jesus Christ if you'll get in Jesus Christ. If you won't get in Jesus Christ, you don't have any deliverance. There's no deliverance outside of him. But by faith, through faith, you get it in Jesus Christ. And there is the deliverance there. So Sarah, going back to Sarah, Sarah believes God for supernatural birth, a supernatural deliverance, something that can't be produced by anybody other than God. And then as the result of that, if you go back over to Hebrews 11 and see the last part of this, it is the last, this is the last one. This is it.
We'll see.
We'll see. I said the last part. There may be a few parts to this last part. One A, little I. Amen. Hebrews 11. All right, what's the product of all this? Is the product of believing God is fruitfulness. Hebrews 11, verse 12 now. After you get through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. Verse 12, "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." So believing God yielded fruitfulness that both Abraham and Sarah never dreamed of. I mean, can you imagine they're almost, Abraham's 100 years old, and no children other than Abraham had a child. Abraham has Ishmael with Hagar, but there's no promised seed, and that turns into, after they trust God, that turns into a multitude of people that they can't even count. That's the fruitfulness of faith. He says stars and like heavenly descendants, earthly descendants, sand of the sea, and something that she could not produce in herself was produced, multiplied millions and millions of times by faith. Something she couldn't do by herself, God, by faith and through Sarah's faith, reproduces millions and millions and millions of times over. That's incredible fruitfulness. Incredible fruitfulness. So Sarah's faith, again, you read about Sarah, she is like the quintessential mother in the Bible. Almost everything that's said about her deals with her being a mother in some way. And notice her faith is what justified her. And that's true of your faith. Faith is what justifies by faith. Justified by faith, he talks about in Romans. What was her faith in? Her faith was in God, first of all, in his promise. And she trusted God for a supernatural birth and a supernatural deliverance, which is something that's very similar to what we trust God for. A supernatural birth, being born again, supernatural deliverance, a new body, incorruptible, all that, those kinds of things. And then that trust in God and his promises yielded incredible fruitfulness beyond what you could even imagine. Multiplied millions and millions of times over. So that is Sarah's faith there. Let's pray and we'll wrap this one up. Father, thank you so much for your words. Lord, I pray it's been helpful. Some simple things, simple truths, some types of what we believe. Lord, and I do pray everybody here believes these things. If not, I pray, Lord, that you would convict the hearts of those that don't trust you, have their eyes on this world, so much so that they've lost sight of and don't have any sight of you or any of your promises. Lord, I pray you'd get their eyes on you and your words, your promises, all those things in Jesus Christ. Lord, if anybody here is not saved, I pray today be the day of their salvation. Father, thank you again for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for each soul that's here today. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.